This message is brought to you in part by the First Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church of New Jersey.
I would also like to thank our youth leaders who came during the first quarter, who gave us outstanding messages in the person of Sister Emily and Brother Earl. Thank you so much for doing that for the Lord. Whatever things you do here in this church, you do not do them for the sake of yourselves, nor for the sake of your pastor, nor any one of us, but you're doing it for the Lord. I'd like also to thank you for coming here, for attending this service today. You could have gone to other churches. You can have the privilege to go anywhere if you wanted to. But in behalf of our beloved first elder, Elder Ron Kiba, in behalf of the church administrators, and in behalf of the board and all members who are incumbent, who are members of our church, those who have just come, I'd like to thank you for coming here and for choosing to worship with us. I hope you were not forced to come and attend our worship today. But I hope your coming here was the direction of the Holy Spirit. For that matter, I hope that your coming here was something that would help you in your Christian experience, that after the meeting, you will be happy because you have come and you will come again. You won't regret at all. In my almost 30 years of serving the Lord, it's only now that I have a sermon entitled Only with One Word. Remember, I am trying to describe how I would put the title of this study. But there's only one thing that I could make it. It's just like that. And so, bear with me that if there is anybody who is much concerned of your soul, of my soul, it is no other than Jesus Christ. Having that said, I'd like to assure you that ministers are the one who have the responsibility to do that likewise, to emphasize things that will prepare them. And our tendency is for us to forget. When our parents tell us when we were still small, please remember, it means important. It is important. Because when we do forget, there will be a consequence. And so we don't like that to happen. And so this morning, we're going to study a little bit of that word, remember. That's too far for me, huh? I cannot see it. Can you see? Maybe that is too little. We'll make adjustment later on. According to what had been read by Brittany, Hosea 4:6, my God's people are destroyed for, there are three things, lacking knowledge. Second, rejecting wisdom. Third, forgetting God. With that, may I invite you to please bow your heads with me as we seek the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, Almighty Heavenly Father, we realize that without you, we can do nothing. Help us as we study your word. Please send your holy angels to watch over us and your Holy Spirit to soften our hearts that the things that we are going to learn today will be something that we will always remember. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things, obvious reason. Don't forget, just remember. Why do we need to remember? Three things to remember today. So that you won't be scrambling as to what was the topic that was preached today. At least you can remember, because the word is just remember. All right? I have listened to the message intently by our two young people. The reason why I'm always interested with our young people to preach, because from there, we would be able to know what they feel. And we will be able to communicate. In our home, we always have a dialogue with our kids. We want them to speak for themselves without being harassed, without being intimidated, that they can speak freely. Because by so doing, we will know what they feel. And by so doing, we can observe as to how we deal with them. And so last Sabbath, we have been given a good stimulant in our mind as to how we deal with our doubt. And it impresses me because at the end, there was the Jesus who had been guiding the one man who had been blessed by the Lord to have experienced from birth up to now had been a part of Christian community. I wish I had that experience, but I have never been born a Seventh-day Adventist. I have been telling you that I belong to the biggest church in this world. In fact, my name has something to do with the promise that someday I'm going to become a priest. And so that is the reason why I have been named that way, because of that promise. Yet I'm happy to know the truth that I have today, because the truth that I have today is something that I cannot exchange with anything else. Now, remember where we came from. The first thing that we've got to remember is we've got to remember where we came from. There is a saying in Tagalog. There's only one, and probably those that do not understand Tagalog, I don't have the complete interpretation for this, but let me just scramble the words so that you would know. Ang hindi marunong lumingon sa kanyang pinanggalingan ay hindi makakarating sa kanyang patutunguhan. It's a Filipino proverb. I don't know if that is accurate. But the way I understand is that he who doesn't look back to where he came from cannot reach his destination. It's required that we've got to look back. But there are times of which we are not going to look back. There might be reason. So, here's our country. Where have you come from? Are you coming from the east? Are you coming from the west? Are you coming from the north? Are you coming from the south? And of all, about 4 million plus Filipino-Americans in the U.S., I have found out that there's about 1.5 million living in California. I think we've got to spread because a lot of people are needing us. And we're happy that we're already here. Remember where we came from. We've got to remember that. Why? We have to remember Jeremiah 16. It says here, thus is the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls will only come if we remember the old ways. And so, here is it again. The Filipinos have seven fundamental values, honorable virtues. Number one is hospitality. What is that hospitality? Even if we don't have money, even if we don't have something to eat, we still entertain our strangers, our visitors, with hospitality. How do we deal with them? In the farm, even if there is no other viand that you can cook, sometimes dihi mo nga ang dahen. Inside the bird's nest will be the one that will be slaughtered just for the sake of the visitor. I know that because I have been working with Filipinos. And so this is one. I have noticed that here in this country, if you're not invited in a certain house, not of course in our Filipino communities, but in the place where you go there and you're unexpected to be there, the person who is eating whatever he is eating will never invite you. I have never experienced it yet, having been invited by someone who did not expect me to come. In a mealtime. So you just wait, okay, we will eat first. We will eat first and then you just wait there. But in our Filipino culture, it's different. You eat first, even if we don't have food. There's an expression that says, okay, you just eat. Even if we will die, it's okay. Right? That is how hospitable the Filipino culture is. Second, solidarity. We help one another. When one is in problem, we do not escape. We do not say, mind your own business. I have to mind mine. I have to mind mine. Perseverance. Matyaga. That's our vernacular. Even if how much painful the experience may be, the Filipino will survive. I could not believe in the 12 countries that I have gone through, even in the Holy Land, in Jerusalem, I have found Filipinos there. I said, what are you doing here? Why are you here? They said, well, we are here because you are here. Why are you here too? I said, I am asking because I'm interested. I'm interested. Why are you here? Well, we are here because we would like to live, and so we're just trying everything we can. Is it hard here? Yeah, it's hard, Pastor, but it's more harder. I mean, it's harder there in the Philippines. We have just heard Sister Magbanwa, who just spoke a while ago, how hard that is. Very challenging in there. But Filipinos will survive because they used to having associated with perseverance. Next, family orientedness. We mourn. Right now, there are some divorces that is happening in our community. But we mourn that. We're not happy about this thing that is happening. Why? Because Filipinos are known to be close-knitted, family-oriented people. We love each other. It is only when the time comes when one abuses the other that this would become a problem. This would become a problem. So with that, we've got to know. Thank you, Nan. We're happy that in spite of the hardship that we have, we still have maintained that family-orientedness. Next is friendliness. We always deal with warm smile. The smile with, you know, $1 million price. Even if we are already hungry, we still smile. We are still friendly. And so even if our speaker already spoke more than 2 hours, we still smile. We still remain seated. Why? Because we would like to be good and be friend to our speaker. And we have that kind of attitude to be friendly with anybody. And that is the reason why sometimes we are being abused by some other people. Because of our goodness. Per se. Then we also have this respect for elders. We cannot afford, if as much as we can, we keep our elders to stay with us. Take care of them up to the last breath. Why is that? Well, we are known to be respecter of our elders. We really take care of them, even in our country. In our country, they don't have Alzheimer and what's the other one? Forgetfulness, dementia. We don't have it there. It's only here. In there, it's only malimutin. The only forgetfulness is the problem of our elders there. But here, we have We have all of these names. We have all of these names. But in spite of the fact that it is like that, we still respect our elders. This is one of the seven Filipino honorable virtues. Importantly, we have the trust in God's providence. I'm not going to elaborate each of this. I know these are seven, so probably we can end at about 4 o'clock here, but I'm not going to elaborate that. We are going to look back. What is now or what was then, what is now and what is to be. We are in this present condition, so we are going to take our steps. In there, we know what is happening. How do you call that? Bayanihan? In America, we have not experienced that here. In my 14 years here, I have not seen. Because there's a truck or there's a trailer that will pull houses like this. But in the Philippines, we have this bayanihan. Human beings themselves are the one carrying this building. So our kids may not be enjoying about what is you can see here. But people who have gone there and have witnessed how this thing happens, you can really appreciate on how we help each other. We really help each other. Now, if you are rich here there in the Philippines, you can have this kind of house. You are rich here there. But when you are here, of course, you will have this kind of building. Some own condominium. And you can rent any of those, or you can have any of those. And you enjoy life of luxury here in this part of the world. Have you seen it here? Not 1 mile. The policeman will catch you, will pull you over. If you're a jeepney driver having, how many do you think people that are riding overboard, probably more than what is inside. So dangerous. Yeah, we can see it's very dangerous here. But in the Philippines, it's not dangerous. A pastor came here. He said, when he was given a milk, then the wife reminded the one that gave the pastor, said, "Darl, can we check the milk? It might be already expired. So make sure that the milk is not expired because it's not good for Pastor so-and-so to be drinking that milk." Then the pastor said, "You know, it's good for you here because when the date is already there and it says the date was only until tomorrow and that's already expired. But in our country, we don't have expiration date there. When you drink milk and whatever you eat, it will only expire if the person that eats it expired." That is our situation there. Look at that. They're happy. This motorcycle in our country here will only have maximum of two. Two people will ride in the motorcycle. But you look at that. How many people are riding? Probably 10. 10 or, yeah, more than 10. That is how hard the Philippines is. But Filipinos are very innovative. We came from that country. We see them every day. We have witnessed how hard it was. Yet, we're happy in seeing them. The kind of happiness that we share. Stress-free. Now we have chosen to be here in America where we can have a lot of "you is a United Stress of America." This is a jeepney. Oh my, if you can have a jeepney there in the Philippines, you're already a great neighbor. Everybody will talk about you. Imagine. This is the latest 1968, but this is the latest, they consider it latest there, when you can ride on this kind of vehicle, you are one of the smartest in the community. But in here, Oh, it's just ordinary for us to be having Lexus. It's just ordinary for us. So many kinds. You can talk about them. Vehicle is a necessity here. We have all these means. And because of that, we always are reminded back home. You look at that. When we were still there, we ate this one and we enjoy eating this. What is that? Galonggong and rice. And with that, you can use bare hand. In here, I have not seen so much on hand eating. They eat by hand. But in the Philippines, you can always see them almost every day. And you enjoy eating. The kind of enjoyment is so great that you can never exchange it with a spoon. Why? It's like that. Now in here, we have all this stuff. But let us not go to deal with that. This is not good for Adventists. Let me deal with you. The warning. Because there's a warning of a lot of what we have today. When you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, what's the warning? You forget the Lord your God. The tendency for us is that when we have all these pleasurable things in our lives, we will forget God. Worse than that, in that same chapter, in the next verse, it says there, then your heart will become what? Proud. And you will forget the Lord your God. That's why we've got to remember, because we can easily forget when we have all these things. It continued and said, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is He who what? Who gives you the what? The ability to produce wealth. It is He Himself. Why? If He does not give us good health and if He does not protect us, it's over. Another warning, if you ever forget the Lord, this is a worse warning. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods by loving other things more than God, that is God's small letter, and worship and bow down to them, I, God, testify against you today that you will surely be what? Destroyed, according to Moses, Deuteronomy 8. So you look at this woman. Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God with a white gold lace. He was already so smart and doing like that, you know. But I have not seen that here in my congregation. I have not seen that here. Everybody just bow, and then everybody just so courteously doing that. But sometimes there are some people that are like this. But this happens only in some Filipino congregations, not here. What will be the antidote so that we will always remember God? There is one antidote that we can make: giving or sharing. For a proud and forgetful heart, we've got to remember these two texts, Proverbs 19, 17, and Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. What do those texts say? First is that, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will what? He pay him again. And so we've got to remember the poor. Just remember what Sister Margie had just told us. Let's try to think about those people that are having hard time, that are in hardship. Let us remember that we too, if we are there in that country, we too will be riding on that jeepney. We too, in the same manner, will be riding on that tricycle. So we will still have that. We should have that kind of life had we not moved here and had the Lord not guided us to be here. Proverbs 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We've got to honor the Lord. How do we honor the Lord? Some pastors are afraid to preach about stewardship. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I am not afraid. I'm going to tell you so that blessing can be shared with you, because this is the source of blessing. I'm telling you this because if somebody cares for you, it should not be more than what I care about you. I want all of us to be in eternity. I want all of us to be faithful stewards of the Lord, because you and I are only stewards of what we have. So, my invitation for all of us, first invitation, let us faithfully return. We are not giving our tithes. We are just returning. Tithes is not ours. We will deal with that in the next quarter, because I plan to preach only once in a quarter on stewardship. Return, we are returning the tithe. All tithes, for they belong to whom? To the Lord. It's not ours. I don't need to read to you the text, because the text is very painful. And so what happens? Here are two people bringing having their income. The faithful tithe giver and the non-tithing giver. Now, according to Haggai 1:6, it says here, you have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You earn wages only to put them in the purse with holes. You look at that. The non-tithe giver have holes. What are those that causes some holes in our bag? Anxiety, IRS audit, accidents, marital fights, chronic illness, problems, problem children, spiritual coldness, etc. Is our bag full of holes? Let us honor God with our tithes and offerings. Now, is our bag full of holes? Love at home, if we are faithful with God, with our responsibility to Him. Love at home, peace of mind, marital intimacy, deep trust in God, hope amid trials, unexpected blessings, spiritual happiness, and so on and so forth. We can all have all of those if we will just be faithful to the Lord. And so, in summation, with these two comparable, we will be able to have guilt if we will be unfaithful, but we will have peace if we will eventually transform ourselves to be somebody that is a steward, a real steward of the Lord. Now, choose to honor God with His tithes and your offerings. These are the first fruits. So is your bag full of holes? Let us honor God with His tithes and our offerings. Because tithes belong to God, so we will return that to Him. And offerings is our gift to God, an expression of our gratitude to Him. So we bring Him offering as well. Don't we realize that in the olden times, probably next few months, we will be studying in the theology of giving, that offering is part of service. In the sanctuary, they cannot go to worship the Lord without something that they are going to bring as offering. The offering of the animals. That was the olden times. But now we don't bring animals here. We have nobody who will take care of those animals, and we are not going to that kind of direction. However, we can keep, and our treasury is always willing to keep God's money for us in order for God's work to continue and to thrive. Now, we wanted to have abundant life, aren't we? In Proverbs 3, 9, and 6, it says here, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your income, and your barns shall be filled with abundance. You want abundant blessing? Return what belongs to the Lord and give your expression of love to Him. And you've got to do it in faith. You cannot do it by yourselves, but you have to have the Holy Spirit to guide you, to help you in all these things. So three things to remember in 2014. First, remember where we came from. Second, remember who we are. We are stewards in the first place. Now, remember your name. Also, what is that related to stewardship, my name? Oh, I'm a Christian. A Christian is a believer of Christ. Christ is wanting me to follow him, giving everything that he had for me. And he is only asking not even everything. And that is probably the reason why when he said, foxes, or animals and birds have their homes. But the Son of Man, where did he go? He went to a good house, good hotel. He does not have anything to lay his head on. Beloved, we are Christians and we are followers of Christ. I do not say that we are going to leave our homes. But let us try to be balanced in our love for the Lord. And let us be honest. If we have not been honest, and if we are honest, we have been honest, let's continue with that honesty. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. Now, what's in your biological name? My biological name is Emmanuel. Some of you might have Trinidad, and so training. Training. For me, I have been called with so many names. Maui, Mawing, Mani. You can call me anything. It doesn't matter. What matters most to me is your love for me and your love for the Lord, of course. And so, your biological name, what does that mean? Our names speak for us or against us. Our names are all about who we are. Our personality, our reputation, especially our character. Whatever we are called of, that will demonstrate us. What's our spiritual name? For us as a group, we are Christian and follower of Jesus Christ. The president of General Conference said one time, every time you say, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, you preach a sermon. Quite a strong declaration. Never ever be ashamed of your name, our name. Remember your name. You are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Sometimes you are being abused by other people. You look at this mother and son. They were praying, and before them are two drunkards, actually three. And, you know, you have seen what they are doing for them. Sometimes it's hard, but let us not be embarrassed. When we are in the restaurant, let us pray before we eat. Not that we will just do like that, and then you are praying already. What happened? In front of the food, you just say, and then after that, already amen. That should not be. Don't be embarrassed that you are a Christian. Show forth that you are. Stand for the Lord like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Lord will bless you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed of that name. What did Jesus say if you will be ashamed of him? He will never know you also, and he will not introduce you to his Father. And that's unfortunate. If we are his follower, we should be brave. Now, we should also remember that we believe in the Creator God. In 6 days, Creation Week is capped with memorial of that creation, the seventh-day Sabbath. We believe on that, all right? Because we remember on that, we pretty know that God is the one that created everything that we have in this world, and we don't believe less or more than that. So we believe on the day of the week of creation, first, second, third, up to six, and on the seventh day, God rested. We believe on the seventh day that refers to God's power in creating this earth in six literal consecutive 24-hour days. That is what we believe. Don't exchange that belief with other beliefs. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy in Exodus 20, verse 11. That word in the middle of S and TH is an Aramaic word for father, Abba. That word Abba is father, which means that God is the father of all created things. And that is the reason why you should not be embarrassed to go to church on a Sabbath, because God has blessed this tremendously for each of us. Do you belong here? We don't belong here, right? Because we believe in creation. God created us. I will never consider myself to be a part of this because they are also they are created beings. But I was not created after them. I was not created after them. Now, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and breath of life. And man became a living soul, according to Genesis. Now, as Adventists, we are waiting for the Lord's coming. We are waiting for that, and the signs are tremendously fulfilling. And so, as a church, even if this church sometimes members don't attend our midweek, members sometimes don't attend our vespers, members sometimes leave early to do something else, but we should remember there is only one church that God has high regard. Selected Messages 396, it says here, we should remember that the church, in feeble and defective it may be, is the only object on earth on which Christ bestows his supreme regard. Oh, I'm glad that I'm a part of the church. Is this the only church that would be saved? No! It says here, John 10, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. At this moment, that is being shared to other people. So let's remember our name. August 21, 1983, Ninoy Aquino was murdered. Ninoy Aquino, for those that have not gone there in the Philippines, Ninoy Aquino is a senator. Benigno Aquino Jr. He was a senator there then. He had been politically exiled. Probably he evaded President Marcos. And in his coming back in August 21, he was murdered by, what's that person? Rolando Galman. And here's what happened. You look at Corey, widowed wife, who became the president right after that. And then it was hard. But 10 years prior to his death, he wrote to his son. This is what the letter was. I mean, this is the content of the letter. He said, "There, my dear son, the incumbent president we have now, Noynoy III. This is Benigno Aquino III. You are my son," he said. "You carry my name and the name of my father. The only valuable asset I can bequeath to you now is the name you carry. Look after your two younger sisters with understanding and affection. Chrissy is still very young, and fate has been most unkind to both of us. Stand by your mother as she stood beside me through the winds of crisis. Finally, live to honor your name and follow your conscience, your dad," according to Ninoy Aquino. Beloved, Ninoy Aquino died. He was buried in the libingan ng mga bayani. And here he is. This is one of the statements that he stated. At that time, Filipinos were only about 85 million, and he stated this: "The Filipino is worth dying for." This is what he said. But don't we realize that somebody gave his life to pay for our freedom? It's more than Ninoy. It's not only the Filipinos, but all other people, and even the whole universe has to be cleansed because of his blood. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and affected. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." This is what Isaiah demonstrated in his authorship. The servant of the Lord, Ellen G. White, stated this also in Deserved Ages. In interpretation to that text, she said, under the title, "The Great Exchange," Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which he had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was his. What a precious authorship writing that is that we are going to have that Jesus was crucified. A few months from now, the world, the whole world is going to celebrate the Semana Santa, the Holy Week, of which they will again remonstrate the way that had been done before, more than 2,000 years ago. But we, every day, we come into thinking about the sacrifices of Jesus. Now, as what we know, Jesus, after that, after he died, he was buried here. And then he ascended to heaven, and he made a promise. I will come again and receive you unto myself. John 14:3. That was his promise. Yes, Jesus, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, according to John the Revelator. In 9/11, people were running desperately, covering themselves in order to be saved. Many have died. More than 4,000 have been accounted who have died. Yet, that was not the end, only the sign of his coming. But the time will come when we can see flashing from the east to the west, lightning that will be flashing, that will remind us that he is here. And then we can hear the trumpet singing, Jesus is coming again. Will you be with this group of people who will happily and say, he is the God that we are waiting. We are not afraid. We're happy that he is here. Or will you choose to become like this girl here who is in a suicidal mode, that because she has a problem, she cannot deal with her problem because she has nothing, nobody to trust? The choice is yours, beloved. But may I remind every one of us that Jesus is coming. When he will be coming, will he find faith in you? Will you be happy like those people that we have just seen? Or at the moment, what is your status? Are you saying, Lord, please wait, do not come yet, because, you know, I have not graduated yet. I'm graduating, but please do not come yet. Or you may say, Lord, do not come yet because I have a project. I'd like to buy a new Lexus in this year, so I am saving. Or you probably say, Lord, wait, do not come yet because I have many things to do yet. Are you this kind of guy? What is your thinking about that? Your answer will depend on you. Three things to remember in 2014 and what we have studied today. Where we come from. Secondly, who we are. We are steward, and we have a name to protect. And why we are here in this church. Because Jesus is coming, and that we are waiting for his return. We would like to be a part of this. People that are waiting for the Lord. When will this happen? How will I do so that I can prepare? How do I prepare? Since our community is a part of our preparation, not only our church, we cannot prepare just for ourselves. We have to go to the community and serve them. We've got to be a participant of whatever community endeavor works that a church would be making, would be planning and implementing. It is by constant joining with this group that are dedicated to do the cause of others that the Lord will be happy about. To close our study this afternoon, I'd like to close our study with a certain story. This happened in a one fundamentalist church whereby everybody was being performed accordingly. This church is always watched by elders and deacons, so that every detail of the things, every participant, you know, there is always a prescribed something. Everything is being done accordingly, per se. One day, while the pastor was preaching in the pulpit, one of the neighbors came by. He was so rugged. You can just see the dirty clothes that he has. And you can just smell the pungent smell that you can smell when he was opened, when the door was opened and he entered in. All the pews were already filled out. That preacher was a great preacher, so that many attended during his sermon. Since very few of the chairs only, but they could not be located. That dirty man, coming from the back door, got inside and walked into the aisles. While he was walking from there, the church pastor saw that elder. He already knew that this elder is going to drive that homeless man because he has full of odor. You know, this kind of congregation is a secret congregation. Nobody could just speak. Nobody could just participate because, as what I said, they are sacred. And so when that pastor saw that the elder was coming to meet that guy, he knew what will happen. He knew that he is the one that will drive that man out. He believed that what he was doing is the right thing also, according to the manual and according to the policy of the church. He was continuing in his preaching. And this man, the elder, was following the dirty man, the rugged man. When he was walking down the aisles, coming to the front, all the eyes were there, and some were already elbowing. Why is this dirty man been here? The preaching was so good, so everybody was just listening. And then, later on, about 3/4 of the sermon having been presented, that man that had gotten in did not sit right there, did not sit even there, but sat right here while the preacher is preaching. He sat right here to listen to the sermon. All the eyes were there, and those that have sat on the in the pew, the front pews, will covering their nose because, you know, the odor of urine is very recognizable with this. The preacher wondered why the elder did not bring that man out. That elder came and followed that dirty man, homeless man. While he was following, when that man sat right there in front of the preacher, that elder came and sat just beside him. And both of them were listening. The pastor was amazed. What a change. Why is it like that? This is a different man. He always has a lot of policy in his head. But now he has changed the way he deals with the problem. He felt the call of the Lord. The call of the Lord to be a living witness in him. So much so that instead of dragging that man out of the church, he went and sat right there, side by side with that man. The service was done. They were already having good communication there. They were having conversation. The preacher and the rest of the officers were there. The pastor called a meeting and they met. When they were meeting already, the pastor asked the elder, "Why did you leave that man to continue and sat in front?" You know what the elder said? "I feel the burden in my heart that it is high time for us, it is time for us not only to open our windows of our church, but to open the windows of our hearts and allow those people whom we have neglected, now that they have come and listened to the word of God, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, be allowed to come in and listen so that they will also be blessed like ourselves." You could just imagine how satisfying it was for the minister when they hugged each other. What a change that have come to their church. when all their prejudices against the community that they have stand forth had been gone, when that elder brought forth that man, allowed the man to sit and listen to the message. Beloved, this afternoon, how is our church? Where are we now? Have we reached our church? Jesus was saying that we have a responsibility for the poor. Besides, we are having a responsibility for our church, we too have a responsibility for our community. How then are we participating? I am just very glad to see and recognize the kind of love that we extend to our people in the community. When you come during the time of soup, what's that? Soup kitchen? When everybody came for the soup kitchen, when everybody willingly came and helped. At that time, we have a very good experience, but we would like to remind everybody, those who have not participated, I encourage you to come and be a part, because God is calling all of us to be a part of this ministry. So let us remember in these three things. Remember where we come from, and remember who we are, then remember why we are here. Jesus is coming, and we've got to prepare. God bless us this morning.